This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living. Welcome to the Fuck Fentanyl Podcast. I am Luis Romero, and I am the Fuck Fentanyl guy. Today, I got one of my models, Atalia. How are you doing, Atalia?
Doing pretty good. Happy to be here.
Awesome. I'm happy to have you.
Yeah.
So, I'm Atalia. I've known for a little minute now. Maybe last year, I met her, and Atalia's in... I would say early in recovery still, but I've also got a chance to listen to her share her story, and it was so great. And I think she was going to contribute much to this podcast. So I'm really, really excited to have her on here. And she makes a great model. So Atalia, what was life like growing up?
I guess I'll just start from the very, very beginning. What I can first remember when my dad was still alive, living with my mom and my dad, and they both had, addiction issues.
Yeah.
My dad had it pretty bad from what I can remember. Like, I remember domestic violence. Mm-hmm. I remember just some really unhappy times.
Yeah.
My dad did end up passing away when I was about 5 years old. And so I was with my mom and my grandma. Like I said, addiction runs like really strong in my family.
Okay.
My mom and my dad met in AA. You're
a 13th step baby.
Yeah. So I didn't really ever take the program seriously. I just didn't think it would ever be something for me because, I kind of saw what happened with them.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. So early childhood, I lived with my mom for a few years out in El Cajon, and I remember having some really amazing times, just her and me and my brother, and, having like a somewhat normal childhood.
Mm-hmm.
My mom did struggle really heavily with mental illness. So there were, times where she wouldn't get out of bed for days, and, there were some struggles. Like it was difficult.
Yeah, for her to raise you and your brother.
Yeah, and so, and she at the time she was sober too. So, she was going through a lot. It was a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some like really beautiful times.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out there for a few years. I would say for the most part, things were really good. And then when I was about 8 years old, I was raped. And I did always kind of feel different from people, but at that point was when I actually felt like separate. Like I felt completely separate from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that it's really hard to explain.
Yeah.
I felt really guilty as a child. And
oh, you did?
Yeah.
Even as a victim of a major crime and going through that?
Yeah. So, like I said, it's hard to explain, but in my head it was like, oh, I was this like dirty evil thing, and like just a child's mind, I guess, trying to like understand everything. Yeah. It was, something that I felt like I couldn't talk to anyone about.
Yeah. I was about to say that, like, you didn't say anything.
Yeah. I didn't tell anyone until I was like, in my teen years.
Oh, wow.
So that was really hard. I do feel like things really shifted for me at that point. I was still getting sexually abused on a pretty regular basis for another year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was just a kid at the time. I wasn't like, I mean, I know some people do, but I wasn't like drinking or using.
Okay.
I did, you know, start to like develop these issues where, you know, like body dysmorphia. And so I'd like starve myself you know, I'd like cut myself. I'd just like find ways to deal with.
To try to escape.
Yeah, try to escape and I guess like try to control things because it felt good to have like some kind of control over like something in my life.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it was hard. It was like I did not want to be alone with my thoughts, but at the same time, I didn't really see like any way out of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't see how I could like share with anyone or I don't know. That was just like, you know, I was in my head. I was completely separate and it was just really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I would say I was about 10 years old and my mom ended up moving to Mexico with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lived with my grandma. I lived with my mom's friends, my friends. And so it was just kind of like I didn't really feel like I had stability. I mean, like looking back now, you know, at the time I was like, whatever, you know, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just like at the time I didn't really understand like my emotions and like what I thought of everything. I mean, now looking back, I'm like, yeah, of course I felt like I had no solid footing. I had like, you know, I was like terrified of like, you know, being abandoned, all these things I didn't realize at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that went on for, a few years. I started making some really good friends like in my early teens.
Okay.
And so I felt like, you know, I belonged. Like there were people like me who didn't have like a real conventional upbringing.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't, you know, like it's not like anything crazy, but it's just it was people that I could relate to and people who I felt like understood me.
Of course.
And you know, they were like a really good group of friends, like some really good kids. And I did like during those few years, I felt like I belonged somewhere. I felt like, you know, I was at home and like I felt secure. I did start like kind of like using pills and drinking a little bit, but not like nothing crazy. It was just, you know, just kind more of like
experimenting.
Yeah. Just like recreationally. I don't feel like my addiction really like truly developed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 15, I was dating a much older guy and I was raped at that point too.
Oh, Jesus Christ. By the man that you were dating?
Yeah.
Oh,
so, that kind of like, I guess like reset things again for me. And so I felt like just very, very separate. You know, I felt like, up until that point, I felt like, you know, like safe and like people liked me and I felt like, you know, valuable to people.
Yeah.
And so when that happened, it just.
It totally just ruined your whole world again.
Yeah. And I really didn't think it had like that big of an effect on me, but, it was just more like gradual things, started bothering me. You know, I like my self-esteem started tanking. I just had like trust issues. Yeah. So,
and you felt like you couldn't say anything at that time as well.
Yeah. I didn't want to get anyone in trouble. And I felt like, you know, I felt stupid. I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm in this situation because of me. It's not like I'm, you know, at the time, that's what I thought.
Okay.
I was like, at the time I was like, I put myself in this situation, you know, it's my responsibility. So, I mean, looking back now, obviously I don't feel that way, but that's what was going through my head, through like a 15-year-old girl's head.
Yeah. You just felt like, maybe, it was like, it was bound to happen or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I just didn't feel like I was this innocent victim. Basically I like put myself in the situation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Jesus. So at that point, I started having like more issues with my relationships, like my friendships. I just kind of felt lost again. And so I started using pills more, regularly, like when I could get them, at
like,
least.
Like painkillers?
Yeah. Okay. So like Narcos, like, you know, just like Vicodin, like stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
And then I started drinking a little bit more, like partying more.
Okay.
And so at that point, I feel like, you know, my addiction like kind of started because mm-hmm. I did need something to like be happy just, you know, not feel terrible.
So, all the trauma and all the pain they were going through.
Yeah.
Was just like, you could put it in the back burner.
Exactly. Yeah. I could just be someone else. Like I didn't have to be, you know, those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, nothing like crazy happened. I was just young and, I ended up getting married like right when I turned 18.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like right away, I just like, I know I was really impulsive, you know, it was like, I just wanted to do what I wanted to do and I wanted to like find my place. And so I ended up getting married.
Is it this, a different guy or was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it like a high school sweetheart type of deal?
No, he was just, I had like mutual friends and I met him when I was 17 and I mean, he was a lot like, you know, he was an adult. So, we got, you know, it was like official when I turned 18 and we got married like right away after that.
It was like a countdown. Like, yeah. Well, we're going to get married in 3 more days. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So, I just wanted to start something new, you know, like I wanted to be a different person.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, yeah. So I wasn't married for very long. Yeah.
Didn't last.
No, not very long. I got pregnant right away. So I had my daughter.
Okay.
And then when she was about 6 months old, I was like, I'm done. You know, like I can't do this.
Okay.
So at that point, I just kind of like, you know, I wanted to start something new again. Like I wanted to be a new person. Yes, and I feel like that's kind of like, you'll see that's like a reoccurring thing.
And like, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part.
Yeah. So,
you had your daughter and the marriage is over. You got a divorce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So all that happened really fast. I mean, that was like a really short period of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I did start drinking really heavily during that.
Okay.
I would say that that's when it progressed from just like partying to like,
everyday
like,
lifestyle.
Yeah, like pretty serious drinking.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I just kind of, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. So I just started partying a lot. I was like making friends, you know, I felt like free again for the first time in a while. And I just kind of like, you know, I went crazy.
And you were like working and stuff like that, kind of handling business?
I was working. I mean, I had like jobs, you know, but I would like, I would quit before I lost them. I just like couldn't keep it together, I didn't have anything stable. But
You're more focused on the party lifestyle.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. I was just kind of more focused on like partying and like, you know, just not really figuring out who I was, but just like finding, I guess, like who I wanted to be.
Okay.
So, So yeah, at that point, you know, that's when I like got more involved with drugs. And so it was, you know, mostly just like coke. I was like doing coke recreationally.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, that's like super, it's like very widely acceptable, you know?
Yeah. You were, is this when you were in Ocean Beach?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I was.
That's a pretty predominant party culture city. And I've already said this before in the podcast, but yeah. But
yeah.
And so you're, you know, you're going up, you know, to cocaine now, so you could probably stay up and
party more.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Yeah. So I was in Ocean Beach. I actually like most of my life lived in Ocean Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, except for those few years that I lived in El Cajon.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, so I was like back there.
OB.
Yeah. Yeah, we for some reason have a lot of pride about that.
One of my really good uncles is grew up in OB. Actually, he had a twin brother too, but his twin brother moved out when he was like really, really young to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And he was a really, really cool dude. Like one of my favorite uncles for sure. Like he was my mom's cousin, but he had an alcohol problem for sure. And we didn't know how bad it was until he died. He died pretty young. Yeah. Like in his, he was, I think in his 40s, something like that. He was pretty young and, you know, they, went to his apartment. They found all the bottles. Like, So I am pretty familiar, though. You know, with OB, you know, and the culture that it and the influence that it can have.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of really good people there, but just like a lot of really lost people, just like yeah. people looking for something. At least that's who I was, you
yeah,
know?
And, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so you're starting to do cocaine now and.
Yeah. So I was, I was doing other things too. Mm-hmm. Like I was doing pills still whenever I could get them mm-hmm. and just mainly like drinking a lot, but just more kind of like, I'll just do whatever, you yeah. know? And so, I started drinking really heavily again during that time and just, you know, taking pills, like I said, whenever I could. Mm-hmm. Shortly after that, I got married again.
Really?
Yeah. That, I know. Very impulsive, like I said.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. How old are you this time?
I was 20, I think.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was like 20 or 21.
So the divorce papers were fresh. Oh, you got married again.
Yeah. It had to have been like, I don't know, a year and a half later or wow. something. Wow. Okay. Yeah, and this was to someone who I grew up with, like, as a teenager.
Oh, okay. So you kind of already, like, had a history with him?
Yeah, he was a really good friend, mm-hmm. And so I, like, really trusted him. Okay. And it was just nice. Like, during that time, I felt like, again, you know, like, I had a family, mm-hmm. and I got along really well with my daughter. Mm-hmm. Again, it was like pretty short-lived,
yeah.
and we were both drinking like very heavily during that time.
So that was kind of like your guys' bond.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I mean, like I knew him before, and so we did have like other things, but that I mean that's all that we did.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, for sure,
obviously, a lot of issues arose, uh-huh. as you can imagine.
Yes,
and yeah, so we got divorced maybe like a year and a half later. Or
You're like 21, you had two divorces?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That's really impressive.
Got a lot accomplished in a short period of
time. Damn. Fuck yeah. And okay, so you're going through your new divorce, and is the drinking and partying escalating?
Yeah. I started, I wouldn't say that I ever stopped like drinking heavily, but I definitely started partying a lot more and being like more reckless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was using pills like pretty regularly at that point. I was buying what I thought was morphine, but it's like the blue 30 pills.
Oh.
So it's like not morphine.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Still to this day, like I always thought it was morphine. Yeah. But you know, like the first time I took one of those, I just remember being so happy.
Uh-huh.
And it lasted like 12 hours. I was like, this is amazing.
Holy shit.
You know, like, I mean, the very first time.
Okay.
And still. Yeah, I was so happy and it lasted so long. And I was like, wow, I feel really good.
Yeah,
like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
And so I was dating another guy.
Okay.
And so we were like using pretty regularly together. And uh-huh. I mean, not just that, like we were drinking really heavily, doing like coke, whatever, you uh-huh. know, like
yeah.
just doing whatever. Like, yeah. again, I was just kind of like, felt like I was free again. Uh-huh. And I just wanted to do whatever I
yeah,
wanted to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, that went on for not a very long period of time. I would say like maybe a couple months.
Oh, no worries. No, you're good.
Sorry, I got a tickle.
It's all good.
So that went on for about 2 months.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple months, maybe a few months. I don't know. It's like all kind of a blur.
Uh-huh.
And so I noticed that when I went like a week without taking pills. Uh-huh. And I realized after a couple of days, like I didn't feel good, you mm-hmm. know, like I felt just like antsy and I just like felt like something was wrong. And so my boyfriend at the time, he was like, maybe you're like getting withdrawals. And I was like,
oh,
I'm just
wow.
taking pills, you yeah. know, like it's not even like hard drugs. Yeah. Like that's how I viewed it, you know.
I viewed that too for
yeah.
a while.
Mm-hmm. And so I was like, that's crazy. But, uh-huh. you know, like either way, I should probably stop taking these because I don't mm-hmm. I don't want to get like physically addicted to anything.
Yeah, for sure. You're in your mind, you're in control.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I can make these decisions for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, this is fine. I can stop whenever I want. You know, mm-hmm. like everyone says that. But like, I really did believe that.
Yeah.
And I thought like, oh, I'm just, you know, doing recreational drugs and I'm like drinking. So I'm like in a good spot. Mm-hmm. That was my mindset. So I just, for like a couple more months, maybe not even that long, maybe like 1 or 2 months, I was drinking again really heavily.
Okay.
Doing a lot of coke at that point. And so I had this, I had like a pretty close friend and I would always buy from him.
Yeah.
And so one day I was like, hey, he was out of town. I don't remember exactly the circumstances, but I was like, hey, do you have any coke at the house? Like, I really want to buy some, like, I'll leave the money there, whatever, you know, just like, do you have anything stashed anywhere? Mm-hmm. And he was like, he's like, check these places. So I checked, there wasn't any.
Okay.
And then he was like, I don't, you know, I'm sorry, but I have heroin. And I was like, okay. I'm like, that's like the opposite, right?
Like, I'm right.
Like, that doesn't like, that's going to relax me. Like that's a downer. And he's like, yeah, but you know, like it's something. And I was like, fuck it.
Better
you
than nothing, right?
I was like, okay, you know, I'll take it. And so, so that was like the very first time I did heroin.
Wow. How old were you when you first did heroin?
Maybe like 21 or 22.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Maybe like 22 at that point.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So up until that point, it was just like pills and like, you know, other like recreational drugs and drinking.
You already had a history with opiates and then you're just fuck it. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. Might as well just do the heroin.
I was like, whatever, you know, it's like.
Not even a big deal.
Yeah. And so I just thought I was going to do it once, you know.
Of course, like, right? Yeah. I'll try it.
So I did it and, and I was like, oh, okay, this is like the pills that I was taking. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is, but way cheaper. Okay, cool, you know? And right. I just remember like this feeling, like I just felt, I felt happy. Mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, like what it feels like when you fall in love. Like that's what it felt like. Yeah. You know, I just like felt warm. I felt so good. And it was honestly like at the time that was like the best feeling I'd ever had.
Yeah.
And I remember like walking around outside my apartments and there are these purple trees and I looked at them and they were just like beautiful. And I was just so happy, you know, it was like, it was just a really, it was just a really big experience for me. Yeah, that was like really pivotal point in my life.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, I thought like, oh, that was cool, you know? And then like, a couple days later, I hit up my friend again and I was like, hey, like, can I buy more? And he's like, yeah, of course. Uh-huh. And so from there, I was just like kind of off and running.
Try to chase that first.
Yeah.
That first feeling.
And it's never as good as the very first time,
nope.
You know, like never.
No, you're right.
And
you're absolutely right.
I got lost for a while, you know, I spent like, I mean, years, you know?
Yeah.
Years. And I really, other than that, I wasn't doing a whole lot.
Okay.
Just like using and I had my daughter, you know, but I only had her part of the time.
Oh, okay.
And so
and was she catching on that you're?
No, she was really young still. She was probably, I don't know, I'm so bad with timelines, but I want to say she was like 3 or 4, you know.
Okay. Still a kid.
Yeah, she was really little. So I don't, it was nothing like that, but I just like, you know, obviously I wasn't present for her. Like I didn't give her like everything she deserved.
Yeah.
And so I always kind of had it in my head, like, I'm not going to do this forever. Like I'm going to quit eventually because like, I want to be a good mom. I want to like, you know, do something with my life. I want to do things. Yeah. And so I never thought that it would go on as long as it did.
It wasn't part of the plan at first.
No, it definitely was not. So that was the first time that like, I personally felt out of control because of my own actions and not like someone else's actions.
I see.
And so, you know, it brought me to like a really low point. I just remember trying to quit and, each time it's like the withdrawal symptoms were worse and they lasted longer.
Oh yeah.
And like by the end, it was like my withdrawals were lasting almost like 2 weeks. And so I was just like in hell, you know, like I couldn't sleep. I couldn't lay down. Everything hurt. Yeah. Like the only thing I could do was just like stand in the shower and cry. That was like it. That was the only thing that made me feel like remotely normal. So like really, really bad times. Would not recommend.
Fuck yeah. Cold turkey heroin withdrawals.
Terrible. Yeah. And I mean, I tried, Suboxone and honestly, like, yeah, it did take the, like the physical withdrawal symptoms away, but
not the mental.
No, it just, I mean, it like makes you feel like your soul is dead. Like, I don't know if that was your experience, but
no,
for
no, it was.
Yeah.
Because when I shoot up heroin and act like a knucklehead, that's when I feel like I'm alive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not just the opiate release into my brain. It was just the climax.
Yeah.
Everything else is what I was addicted to as well.
Yeah.
So when you're on methadone and Suboxone, I just felt like, I was like, what a boring, soulless existence.
No, exactly. That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah. So that's why it didn't work out for me.
Yeah, it didn't work for me either. Like, it would help me to kind of get off for like a few days or a week or like a couple, you know, like the longest, like a couple weeks, just because I wouldn't have those withdrawal symptoms. But I wasn't like strong enough mentally to stay away after that.
Yeah.
So... it didn't work. I mean, so I tried for, I actively tried to quit for, I don't know, like a few years.
Oh, wow. On and off.
Yeah. Just like on and off and, you know, like trying to party in between and just like get my mind off of it or like, you know, start something new. And so when I did, so I did have like a period of time where I was off heroin for like a year.
Okay, that's good
amount of time. But listen, it gets better.
Okay.
So I was like determined. I was like, I have to do this. Like I just, I couldn't live my life anymore. Like when I would get high, like I didn't feel high. I just wouldn't get like violently ill, you know? So it's like, it wasn't even fun anymore. It was exhausting. It was like, I had to find these drugs. I had to, you know, make sure to like find enough,
to get through the day.
And then it was like, it just started all over the next day,
yeah,
you know? And it's like, it wasn't fun anymore. I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel, you know, like I didn't feel warm. I didn't feel like I was falling in love. It was like the complete opposite. Yeah, like
I'm stuck with this shit.
Yeah. I felt demoralized. I was like, I am completely out of control. And that was like the last thing that I wanted. So, so my friend had a really good idea. Uh-huh. She was like, why don't you try meth? You know, like, yeah. So she's like, that might help you because like, you don't have any energy, you know, when you're withdrawing, like I can see you.
Yeah. Like, you can't do anything. Curled up right there. Yeah. Oh my God.
She's like, maybe just like try it, you know? And like I had done meth a few times, you know, like it wasn't, I liked it. But to me, it was just kind of like, oh, this kind of feels like coke. You know, like it lasts way longer, but I mean, other than that, like I wasn't super impressed, you know, at the time I was
same here.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. At the time I was just kind of like, okay, like, you know, everything that you hear about meth, it's like this big, bad, scary thing. And so to me, I was just like underwhelmed.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
I've never actually bought meth. I've always gotten it for free.
Yeah.
That's how much I've done it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like I've only bought meth a couple times. It's like, I swear people just give it away.
Yeah,
for free.
They just get
it's
like everywhere. Here, do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now meth is starting to become a part of your life.
Yeah. So I did meth, and like I said, I had done it before, but it was like different this time.
Yeah.
And somehow it was like I didn't get physical withdrawal symptoms, which blew my mind. I was like, I didn't think anything could take away, you know, my withdrawal symptoms. Okay. And I didn't expect that. So I was just really like grateful. I was like, oh my God, here's something that can like, I could finally break free. You know, like this can help me.
Meth detox.
Exactly. And so, I did that. And like, I was, you know, still getting like that regular hit. You know, like I was still like feeding my addiction. And so it's like I could let go of the heroin for a while.
Oh,
and I started like, you know, being a little more productive. Like I held jobs for longer.
OK.
I was definitely partying a lot at that point, though, because like I never wanted to sleep. You know, like definitely did not want to be alone. Yeah. Definitely didn't want to be alone. Couldn't sleep. So I started drinking like really heavily at that time.
OK.
So this went on for,
were you like doing like the bar scenes over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was,
cause that's definitely part of the OB culture.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean like everyone goes to Sunshine, or at the time, you know, like everyone went to Sunshine at a certain hour. It was like midnight or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I was out every single day.
Yeah. For sure.
So I, you know, and like I started to make really good friends again. And so I was like kind of happy. I just, it was different. Like, I didn't feel like I was like trapped in this dungeon anymore, you know, like I didn't feel trapped. I felt like, it felt good. Like, I honestly felt like I was in a good place. Mm-hmm. So, I did that for a few more years, and, I just, obviously I wasn't happy. You know, I started getting like more paranoid. I was like really on edge. I just, you know, things were changing. Like I was sick all the time. I mean, I was getting like kidney infections all the time. I was like always in the emergency room. Mm-hmm. I lost so much weight. I just like, I was just like a shell of a person, you know, like I would do meth, and then it's like before I wouldn't be tired, but I was still tired. I just felt like, you know, like accelerated heart rate and like, you know, anxiety through the roof.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It, you know, again, like
it wasn't really working anymore.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. So I did do heroin like a few times, like during that period, but it was more just like when I wanted to like calm down or like I wanted to sleep
or like, you know, it's been a few weeks since I slept. Let me do some heroin and then I'll get a good nap.
Yeah. So I had like my regimen down.
Yes. Gotcha.
But I started, it was just like, things were really hard. I could not keep my life together. Uh-huh. I ended up like losing the place that I was living at, and I was like, just like bouncing around. And like, I just remember at this one point I was sleeping on my best friend's floor with my daughter, and I was just like, how did I get here? You know, like, I thought that I had like really broken free. Like, I was like, I got off heroin. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
So like, why am I here? You know? Right? And I was like, did I just like swap one addiction for another? It just kind of dawned on me, you know? And obviously that's crazy hearing that now, mm-hmm. like that someone who's like drinking heavily and like using meth on a regular basis would think that they're like free from addiction, but that's just like where my disease
takes
me.
Exactly. Yeah. That denial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That fucking denial.
Yeah, it was like I had this sense of control. And so it, you know, I went on with that for like longer than I wish I would have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, a lot happened during that time. Like, my mom was diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really difficult. I mean, she had been drinking really heavily at that point, too. Yeah. She was using pills, too. So that was just like, there was just like a lot going on.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of got to this point where I was like exhausted, like emotionally, physically, like I just felt like I was dead inside.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was out one night and I was like, you know, doing meth and I was drinking, and I started to like not feel very good when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
And, I had this guy with me. It was like someone I had been dating for not that long, you know? Okay. And I was like, you can go, you know, like, I don't feel good, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to sleep. And he was like, no, I'll just like, I'll stick around, make sure you're okay.
Uh-huh.
And so, a little bit of time passed and like my side started to hurt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh God, like, I don't feel good, you know, like I really don't feel good. And so I was like, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the bathroom, splash some water in my face. I started getting like kind of like dizzy and like sweaty.
Yeah.
And I looked in the mirror and my face was like completely white. And I was just like, oh my God, something's really wrong. And that was like the first time I had stood up in a couple hours. And I just like, like all the alarms in my body were going off. Uh-huh. I was like, this is, something's really wrong. You know, like I'm not okay.
Okay.
And so he actually, he took me to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And, this poor guy, you know, like I didn't even know him that long. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. He was in for the ride.
Oh yeah. But so, he took me, like stayed with me when I was there. They were doing all these tests on me.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out what was going wrong. But the whole time I was like panicking. I was like, I feel like I'm dying. Like something's happening. Like I'm not okay. And they couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
And so, eventually they ended up doing, I mean, this is like hours later. This is like 8 hours later. Okay. They did like an ultrasound and they're like, you have an abdominal hemorrhage. And I was like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
and
they're
like, like you're bleeding into your system. And I'm like, I don't see blood anywhere, you know? And they're like, no, like you're bleeding into your internal system. And so they're like, we need to get you into surgery right now. And like, you might have to get a blood transfusion, you know, like whatever. And so, I was like, okay, you know, like, I mean,
whatever.
Yeah. Just do what you need to do, I guess. And I just remember being like, if I die, like, it is what it is. You know, yeah. I was just kind of like at that point. So had the surgery, you know, like everything was fine. I woke up. They didn't have to give me a blood transfusion, which was great. They did say that I bled like a third of my blood into my body, though.
Holy shit.
Like, I was really, really low on blood at the time.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So it wasn't circulating at all?
No, it was just like pooling in my abdominal cavity. Holy
fuck, dude.
I know. Fucking crazy.
But why was this caused by?
I had like cysts growing in my system, and one of them had ruptured and like ripped open, you know, a piece of my abdomen. So,
holy Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, I was not healthy, you know, like I'm sure that played some part.
You weren't taking care of yourself on alcohol and meth?
No, surprisingly.
Wow.
I know. Really dropped the ball. But,
and so it was like a kind of a reoccurring problem that you just kind of like put it in the back burner and until that incident happened?
Yeah. So I mean, it was just like, I just thought that I was like prone to things happening.
Yeah.
It wasn't not the meth, like never. but when that happened, it was like, you know, something changed and I was just like, I want to live, you know, I want to be there for my daughter. I have to do something. Like, I have to get clean. I have to stop what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I was a lot more serious. Like that was the most serious I had ever been.
Yeah.
And so I got out of the hospital, and I mean, for like a few weeks, I couldn't go back to work. Like, I could barely walk because I was like so lightheaded. I had to be like on all these supplements, and I had to basically wait for like my red blood cells to like repopulate.
Jesus.
So it was rough. And I stopped drinking during that time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this is good, because I was, you know, I was drinking really heavily. And mm-hmm. I mean, like every single day, all day. And so I stopped, and I didn't do anything for about like 3 weeks. Like, I was like completely sober.
Okay.
After that, I did, like, I had a ton of meth, you know, because like people just give you meth. So I like I had so much just like laying around. And so I started like smoking meth and just doing my thing, but I still wasn't drinking.
Okay.
I was definitely lost. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah. I just knew like something had to change.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, from a mutual, like my like real best friend that's been my best friend for like 20 plus years now.
Okay.
I have two sons now.
Mm-hmm.
So I met their father through him.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. And he was at the Salvation Army. He was in rehab.
Oh, nice.
And so he was like, I told him, you know, I didn't tell him I was still smoking meth, but I told him like, yeah, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I stopped drinking recently. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And he was like, why don't you go to an AA meeting with me? Like, just try it out. And I was like, okay, fuck it. You know, like whatever. So I started going, and like, I started getting hope.
Mm.
I was like, these people are happy, you know, like they're doing something. And like, it was just different. Like, it's crazy, but I was still smoking meth at that time, like going to meetings, you know?
Oh, well, that's not out of the ordinary.
Yeah. But like, for me, it was like, I felt at the time I had the best of both worlds. Cause I wasn't like drinking really heavily and getting hammered all the time, and like I was still able to like get that high, you know, from mm-hmm. meth.
Yeah.
And then I also had like this hope, because I saw people who had like spiritual lives and like had purpose in their lives. And so I know it's crazy, but I was like, I felt like I had the best of both worlds.
Yeah. That I could do a little bit of meth and get some spirituality.
Yeah. Again, that's where my disease takes me,
of course.
So me and my boy's dad, like we got more serious. We moved in together. He moved in with me, like, I mean, very, very shortly after, like maybe a month.
Third marriage?
No.
Oh.
No. I know.
Okay. So you're moving in with him. And
yeah. So we moved in together. We were just like super in love, you know, like it was just, for me, I was like, oh my God, like I'm with someone who's sober. Like, I don't have to, you know, live this life that I was living before.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was like, I felt like I was in the best spot I had ever been in. And I had stopped smoking meth at that point too, because like he moved in with me. So mm-hmm. I was like, I just, you know, I'm going to stop. Like, I'm done. And so, we were clean for like a few months. Like, mm-hmm. you know, things were good. Mm-hmm. I started making friends in the program. Mm-hmm. That was my first time around in the program.
Okay. How old were you when this was going on?
I was 29.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Okay.
So I just, it was like something new.
Yeah.
And
so it was like a little turnaround, new life and all that.
It was like, I felt like I was getting my feet underneath me, you know, mm-hmm. I was like starting to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. And then we relapsed.
Oh, together?
Together.
Yay!
I know, how romantic. So, yeah, we were both on heroin. I was on heroin and meth.
Okay.
And things got, like, really, really bad.
Okay.
Right away.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're both just, both addicts.
Yeah.
Very, right, like, right. Extreme. So.
Yeah, gotcha.
It was, yeah, it was rough. That did not last very long because mm-hmm. he was on probation. So.
Oh, no. Yes, that's not good.
No. So he got caught up by probation officer or whatever. Yeah.
He's like, hey, what's going on here? Yeah.
So like he went in one day to go get drug tested because he had to go get drug tested like every couple of weeks or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm just going to go in and tell them, you know, like if they want to take me back to jail, whatever it is, what it is. And I was like, okay. Like I drove him to his appointment. I like waited outside and I didn't think he was going to come back out. Like I thought that he was going back to jail.
Yeah.
And so he came out and he was like, I have to go to rehab. And I was like, oh,
okay.
So, okay. Like, you're not going to jail. Cool. You know, like you can
caught a break.
You can go to rehab for a couple months, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for like a couple, it was like 2 or 3 weeks. He just kept putting it off and, you know, we were just like getting fucked up the entire time. And,
Of course. Yeah. Milking it every second.
Exactly. So we were just like, just trying to like live it up while we could.
Yeah.
So he ended up going to rehab out in Campo.
Oh, I know this facility.
Yeah.
I am a graduate there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
2013.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This was like a few years later. This would have been like 2016, I think.
Oh, okay. He might have been there around when my best friend was there.
Oh, okay.
He was there maybe 2015. It was him and Rigel were there. Yeah, they were there together for at one point at least. So I love that place, the Freedom Ranch. I've been there. I was sentenced there for like I think 90 days or 120 or something like that, and then I ended up staying there for like 8 months.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I didn't want to come back here.
Yeah,
I was scared to come back to this neighborhood right here.
Yeah,
I was like, oh god, like I'm gonna get high again.
Yeah.
So I stayed there and then I went to the South Bay Pioneers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where I met my current sponsor right now.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So nice. I needed it. I have much love for those programs.
Yeah. So when he went there, I was still getting high. You know, like obviously I wasn't telling him that, but that went on for like another month or so. But I did come up and I visited him all the time and I was going to meetings up there. And so I actually have like some really fond memories up there.
Oh,
also.
Cool. So you got to visit him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And, it was nice. Like I got to know the people there and it's a special place. Like in my opinion.
Yeah, you know? It is. Every time I go there, it just brings me back.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they changed things up a little bit. They made it a little nicer. Which I liked.
Yeah.
It was an old saying for the longest time. You know, it was like, we call it an old ranch. Oh, yeah. So, I mean.
What was the dog's name that was there?
Oh, I still don't know their names. We got Bobo.
Bobo, yes.
Bobo, the chocolate labrador.
Yes.
He was my higher power.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Aww.
Yeah. I had struggles with religion. So, my second step, I chose Bobo as my higher power. And then, it was Lottie, and Max.
Oh, okay.
Max was like he looked like a dingo and he was really mean.
Oh, okay. Vaguely. I definitely remember Bobo, but
Yeah. Bobo's friendly. He loves everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Max is like, don't fuck with him.
Yeah.
And so you got to go to the ranch and you see I guess use your partner you know get into hopping back into recovery and did that influence you to go back as well?
Yeah, it did. I mean that was like always my plan even when I relapsed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like I'm not going to do this forever just for a little bit.
You were just kind of holding on to it.
Yeah. It was just I have a hard time with change.
Yeah.
Big surprise.
As most of us do. Yeah. We don't like change.
No, not at all. So I started going to meetings during that time and I got a sponsor. I started working my steps. I didn't really think that I was an alcoholic at the time. I just thought like, you know, I really struggle with drug addiction. It's just it's just like my thing, you know? And so I thought, whatever, I'll give up alcohol. I'll give up whatever, as long as I can like get clean and stay clean.
Yeah.
And so I did start working a program. That went on for maybe, I was going to AA for about a year.
Okay.
And then I was still sober after that. I just like stopped going to meetings. I was like, I don't need this anymore. Okay. You know, like I've been clean for like a year.
I've been there.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I never finished my steps anyways.
Oh, really?
It was, yeah. I mean, I wasn't taking it super seriously. It was just like, I was just doing what I thought I needed to do. Stay clean off drugs.
Because that happens so often. You know, I've seen it so many times already, but like, you know, we do good. Our lives are kind of coming back together, and it's like, okay, I don't think I need to keep doing this anymore. I did my time.
Yeah.
Kind of a deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've also done this to myself.
Yeah.
I stayed sober through it, you know, but you know, I didn't want to do the work anymore. Cause I thought I guess you get this graduate mentality.
Yeah.
You know,
I can completely relate. Like I also didn't want to do the work anymore. I was I feel like I put my time in, you know, I'm good now. Like I have, you know, my feet underneath me.
Yeah.
I had my son cause we got pregnant like shortly after he got out of rehab.
Okay.
So like life was good, you know, like, it was, I was living sober for the first time. I was like experiencing new things. It was nice. Like I thought it was fine. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that went on for like a couple years. And then, I got to the point where I was like, I went back to school. So I mean, like I didn't go over this, but like, I always struggled in school. I mean,
Hey,
I didn't, same here. Yeah, I didn't even go to middle school at all.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Didn't go to middle school, went to high school for a couple years, dropped out for a while, came back and like got my credits at one of like a secondary school.
Okay.
So to me, I was just like, I never thought that was for me. I didn't think that, you know, I was smart enough to do something like that, but I started going to school. I was like achieving things and I was like, I want to be a normal person now. Like I want to drink. I want to have like a normal life.
Yeah.
And so I did. I started drinking. Okay. And you know, it was manageable at first, like for a while. It was just, I don't know. I'd say it was a lot of things kind of holding me together. It was like, I felt like I had a family for the first time really, in a long time, at least. I had my kids. I just like, wasn't, you know, I wasn't scared of like overdosing or anything like that. Life was, you know, life it was good.
Going good.
Yeah, it was going good.
Yeah, I have some drinks, but what up?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I started drinking and like I said, it was pretty manageable, but I did start drinking like pretty heavily.
Okay, after, so good. Yeah, gradual.
Yeah. So like after a few months I started drinking pretty heavily. It wasn't really like affecting my life. Uh-huh. I definitely drank heavier than the people around me, but it was like I still was keeping everything together. So in my mind I was fine.
Yeah, you held it down.
Yeah. I was like, I can do both.
Yes.
So during that time, my mom got diagnosed with cancer again.
Okay.
So that was difficult, but I didn't really think anything. I was like, oh, she like beat it one time, you know, she'll probably have it for another couple years, like last time, and she'll get better. This time she didn't get better. Like she started getting a lot worse. So I think that was really hard for me because during that time she like really struggled again with her addictions and, just again, like a lot was happening that was like really hard for me and my brother and her, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I did start drinking like even heavier during that time. Yeah. I was just scared, you know, like it was just really hard to like watch someone go through that. Just like seeing how scared she was and just, it was like she had lost the battle in so many ways that it was really hard. So she moved in with me. This was probably like after a couple years she moved in with me and, because she like couldn't live on her own anymore.
Yeah.
And so she was with me for about 6 months. And during that time it was awful.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. It was like just watching someone like gradually get worse and worse. It was, it really like fucked me up. I mean, I know like it's something that like it's part of life and like lots of people experience it, but for me it was just like the gradual seeing how everything happened and just like how terrible it was, you know. It was really hard. Like it took a really hard toll on me. And yeah, so it was rough.
Yeah.
So she did end up passing away after about 6 months of living with me.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, like when she first passed, I was like, you know, she lived with me. I took care of her. Mm-hmm. Like every, you know, I have no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'm fine. You know, like I didn't want to go to therapy. I didn't want to do anything because I'm like, this happens, you know, it's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, and so gradually again, I started drinking like really heavily and just like all the regrets started resurfacing. And I was so unhappy.
Imagine.
Yeah. It was like, I just didn't think that something like that could like really affect me that much. But it's like during that time, I feel like it really, how do I explain this? So I'd never really like had a hard time believing in God growing up. That was just like kind of what I was raised around.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, it just kind of like broke any semblance of faith that I had in anything else. I was like, there's absolutely no way, you know, like there's no way that everything isn't chaos. Like these kind of things can't just happen if there's like a God, you know, like, so it killed me. Like it killed my soul. Like it killed my spiritual life. I just, I didn't have faith in anything anymore. It was just like me and my life and what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I got really depressed. I was drinking really heavily for a few years and things were just going downhill. I started having like really bad problems with my boy's dad.
Was he able to stay clean and sober since he got a lot of treatment while you're dealing with this? And,
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he's not in the program or anything.
Yeah.
It was just like kind of us on our own.
Yeah.
So things were not going well at all.
Yeah.
and I just, it kind of, I mean, nothing really happened during those years. It was just like, slowly I was just like being broken down.
Yeah.
You were
like tuning out.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I got to a point, I was just so depressed. I was like, didn't get out of bed for like a couple weeks. This was like around Christmas time. Not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, like, I felt like where I was at when I was trying to quit heroin, when I was like at my lowest point, I just like felt like I was there again.
Spiritual defeat.
Yes. Yeah. Completely demoralized. You know, like I didn't feel like there was any hope. Like it's like I didn't really want to die, but I definitely didn't want to be alive. I started thinking about like killing myself, you know, like I had my children, so I definitely did not want to leave them, but it's like that thought kept crossing my mind more and more. And I'm just like, what's the point? You know, like it's really my kids, you know, like my kids are really, they're what saved me. Like, my daughter, that she's, you know, really what saved me. Like when I was using really heavily, cause I just like, I always kind of wanted to get better for her.
Yeah.
And so for this time around, it was like, you know, my kids. And I was like, I don't want to kill myself. Like, I'm not going to kill myself. I need to get better for my kids. I need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I decided, this was 2022, I think, December.
Okay.
And I was like, that whole year I tried to stop drinking. I mean, like every day I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink. And it was like, you know, around noon, I was like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
You
know?
And so I felt like, I think that was part of the demoralization, is like, I felt so out of control.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe that I'm here again. It's just alcohol. It's not even like real drugs, you know? I mean,
I can totally relate to that.
That was my thought process.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was December 2022. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to quit on New Year's Day. Like, I'll drink on New Year's Eve.
Really?
That'll be the last day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that was like my plan. I was going to do it. Woke up New Year's Day and I couldn't do it. And I was like, tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. I promise this time. Like, I swear. And so I did. Like, January 2nd of 2023 is my sobriety date.
Wow. Yeah. New Year's, what do you call it?
Resolution.
Yeah, resolution. Wow, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So I went to the 9:30 that night. And
oh, God, yes.
Yeah. And I was like, this is not for me. I was like, these people are fucking crazy. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I know that you know what the 9:30 is like. It's now it's like I feel so comfortable there. It's home. Yeah. But at the time I was just, not in a good place, you know?
Hell no.
I was like, fuck this. Like, this is not for me at all. But I did surprisingly feel a little bit better that night. And I felt a little better the next day. So I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going back. You know, like I was still in a really bad point, obviously, but I was like, I have to try something. I didn't have any hope that I was going to get better. Yeah. But I was like, fuck it. Like, I don't have anything to lose, you know? And my biggest thing was like, I don't think I can believe in a higher power. But I don't know, hopefully, you know, like maybe. And so really like the only thing that I had at that point was just like willingness to try.
Yeah.
And so, the first 30 days were like fucking miserable.
I can imagine. Yeah. No, you kicked with no detox, no rehab. You just
stopped. I've never been to rehab.
Oh, wow. That's fucking awesome.
I know. It's crazy. It was like, I think a big part of it was like, I was scared. I didn't want to lose my daughter, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to like go into treatment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so first 30 days were really difficult.
Yeah.
And I still didn't like believe in God or anything, but I was like, okay, I'll put my faith in this meeting. Like, if I keep coming back every day, I'll feel better. So, like, I can have faith in that.
Group of drugs.
Yeah. And so, like, that did work for me for the first, like, 30 days. Yeah. And then after that, I started to notice, like, all these people who are different from me, but, like, so similar. Mm. It was working for them. So I was like, okay, there's something about the program. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I put my faith in the program.
Yeah.
At that point, like, a couple weeks later, I met my sponsor. I heard her speak at a meeting. And awesome. I was like, you know what? I need to start doing my steps. I need to do something. Mm-hmm. Introduce myself. Just didn't really know what to think at the time, you know? And like, she ended up being like the most wonderful sponsor that you could imagine.
Yes.
She's like perfect for me. I adore her. So,
fuck yeah.
I mean, that just kind of like brings me to where I'm at now. You know, I have a little over a year sober.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. My first year was like,
Hold on. I got the. Oh, wait. I just told you. There he is. I never turned that fucking thing on. Well, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So my first year was like a lot of ups and downs, and I was all over the place emotionally, just like no emotional regulation, but I was like really trying to do things right. Really taking like a, you know, deeper look at myself, working with my sponsor, doing the steps. Reading every day, praying, meditating, doing all these things. And like somehow along the way, like I came to believe in a higher power, you know, like I do have a relationship with a higher power today, which is honestly amazing. Cause I did not think that that was going to happen for me.
Yeah.
And my sponsor told me something that really helped at the time when I was struggling. She was like, it doesn't have to be, you know, like your spiritual awakening doesn't have to be this burning bush moment. Like it can just be little parts of your spirit waking up each day. And so that made a lot of sense because I feel like that's how it happened for me.
I remember you sharing that. I totally fucking can relate to that.
Yeah. That was like one of the most valuable things that she told me because it really gave me hope and like really resonated with me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I forgot to mention, but when I was drinking really heavily, like after my mom passed those few years, I have a really good friend and I met him when I was in the program the first time. And so I always kind of like stayed in touch with him through social media. I didn't really know him like that well. He was, you know, my boy's dad, like he was his good friend.
Okay.
And so his ex ended up passing away from fentanyl.
Oh, wow.
Like not this past March, or maybe like... It was in March of like 2022.
Okay.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years ago.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know him. Like, I'm not going to say his name because I don't.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. But it was just kind of like looking back now, I feel like it was like a God thing. During that time, he was like sending me little videos of like turtles and stuff, like cute stuff. And it was just like out of nowhere. And I absolutely loved it. You know, I was like, this is so funny.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And
that
so,
takes out.
Yeah. I know, right?
100%.
So I ended up talking to him one night. I was like, so demoralized, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how you do it, you know, like, because he would always be posting pictures of like going to shows and stuff and doing these fun things and like having a life. And I was like, how is he not getting high? Like, I know how much this person meant to him.
Yeah.
Like, for him to go through that and for him to like stay sober and, you know, keep living, like, that was really inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him one night, I was like, how do you not want to kill yourself? Like, I'm so miserable right now. Like, you know, everything that's happened, everything with like my mom passing, like, I don't know how you're doing it. And I remember what he told me. He was like, you need to make it not about yourself. Like, you need to make it about other people and you need to be of service. And like, for me, I was like, I knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, like, I wasn't ready to hear it at the time, but I knew exactly what he was talking about. So I just kind of like filed that away in my brain and it never left me though. And like, honestly, he was like huge inspiration to me. And like, I don't think he'll ever really realize like how much like his program and just like him living his life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he'll ever realize like how much that helped me.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And through my recovery, like, you know, he's become like a really good friend to me. Oh, and fuck yeah. I'm just blessed because I have so many friends in the program now. Like, I have a community.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely not the life I would have chosen for myself. Like, a couple years ago, I never would have thought of this and been like, that's what I want.
Right.
But it's like, it's so much better than anything I could have picked for myself. Like, I didn't feel like I was living before. And I came to AA, or like the rooms. I came looking for happiness. I just like really wanted to be happy. And what I've kind of learned over the past year is that happiness is just like any other emotion, you know, like it's fleeting. So like, enjoy it while you have it, but it's not always going to be there.
Yeah,
so true. you need to be able to like, go on when you're not happy, you know? And so like, I'm not happy all the time. Like, I still struggle with like anxiety, panic attacks, like my emotions, you know, I'm still human. I still have my problems, but,
feelings.
Yeah. Feelings. Ugh.
Yeah.
The worst. So yeah, I'm definitely not always happy, but I have peace in my life and like, I have contentment and I'm at a place that I could not have imagined myself being at. So, very grateful.
Oh, well, Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Natalia. Yeah. I really appreciate you. I mean, like I already knew like how amazing your recovery is. Like, you know, even because I kind of forgotten that you had been in and out, and you've already probably had these little seeds inside you, and you know, and seeing you like live your life now. And it's fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you really are a fucking survivor. Mm. You really are. You know, I really appreciate you, you know, repping my brand. And
yeah, I love it. Yeah. I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Yeah. Like I said, you make it you're an amazing, beautiful woman, and you make an amazing model. But yeah, just, you know, your story though, man, can really, you know, touch a lot of other women. I that's why I wanted you on my show, and you know what I mean. And I got much love for that fucking dude that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And fucking, I really would love it for you to come back on, and you know, we'll talk more about, you know, where your life is at and your recovery and all that.
I would love that. A little update.
A little update. I definitely would like more.
Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.